Boy, look at this. We have a Saroy in the building.
Boy, he's here.
Never seen him live before, but that will be in the next segment.
He smells wonderful.
He smells like he's been eating buckets of fish. That's
such a compliment. But here we have Corby, our reporter, out on the town.
Now, this technically, it is Wednesday. It's 5:15. This is Snake Pit.
That was one of my favorite Snake Pits ever.
Yes. And so today for Snake Pit, we take a right turn or a left turn. And we'll talk about a sport that is a little bit overlooked, I would say. I'm a dork fan and self-admitted. But there is a tennis tournament that is coming to the city of Dallas next year. It is an ATP, which is their league, if you will, ATP level tour that's going to be at SMU. It's going to be called the Dallas Open. It will be one of 10 tournaments that they play in the United States every year, and it will be the only indoor tournament on tour.
So where SMU. Indoor? Like at a Moody?
It's going to be at their tennis facility.
Okay.
They have an indoor tennis facility that's got like 6 courts. It's really, really nice. It's where the old, Danny, where the old Mrs. Baird's bred.
I know exactly where it is, and I've been dying to check that place out.
Yeah, it's super nice. So
it makes me feel like that's half the reason why they built it was to get events, right?
I think so.
You would think.
Yeah, it's really nice though, man.
That starts next
February.
Okay.
Yeah, next February.
Will the big names all be here? A lot of them? Some of them?
Yeah, I think some of them.
Okay.
Some of them. So John Isner and Dirk Nowitzki were at the press conference today because Dirk is a huge tennis guy.
Literally.
Literally, yes. He loves it. He supports it and is going to be a part of the promotion of this event. You know, he got up there and spoke today. And then the other guy who is a part of it and who will be playing in it next year is one of the top-ranked Americans. Matter of fact, the top-ranked American, I think, for like the last 10 years, John Isner.
Wow, really?
Who lives here. John lives in Dallas. John, if you're not familiar, John is 6'11". He's a huge dude, just like Dirk. He's a big server. And so John is now going to be the face of this tournament locally, and it benefits his charity. And so he's a big part of this. And so you had everybody from the ATP Tour down here today, the Tennis Channel, they're all down here doing interviews left and right.
What's his approximate age?
He's 36.
Okay.
Yep. And so I got to sit down with Dirk and John to talk about this and a million other things. So let's roll this with the two big fellas.
Yeah. We don't have to say Dirk's last name. Yeah.
Let's go. Hang on.
All right, here with John Isner and Dirk.
You don't have to say
Dirk's.
Yeah.
We don't have to say Dirk's last name.
Yeah, exactly.
If you had like a really crazy name like Dirk, you know, you don't have to say that. So here for the Dallas Open, which is going to be in February of this year, the first annual Dallas Open. You've lived here now, John, for a couple of years. Dirk, you've been here forever. Were you aware, though, of the history of tennis here? Like, before you got here, I mean, it ended like in 1990, 89 or 90, where the WCT finals were here. And it was anybody and everybody. McEnroe won it 5 times. They had a reunion. Mm-hmm. Were you aware of all that?
I heard about it, but obviously that was a little before my time.
Yeah.
But, you know, knowing a little bit about tennis, I've learned it and... but yeah, over the years of my career here, we had a few challengers, obviously.
T-Bar.
And
yeah.
The one out in Las Colinas, and that was fun. But excited now for the Dallas Open, and it'll be fun.
Were you aware of the history here?
I was, yeah. Not prior to moving to Dallas.
Yeah.
Once I was here, a lot of people told me about how successful the WCT. Events were here. I think they played it at Reunion, maybe some at Moody as well.
Yeah, right here on SMU's campus.
And so it was just I heard it was just a fantastic event. And since I moved here, I mean, I've lived all over, and I haven't. This town is crazy about tennis more than any town I've ever seen. So it makes sense, as I said, a bunch out there to have an event like this here.
Okay, so how's the health? We have a major coming up. And you don't have a major, Dirk, but last I saw you, your ankle was hurting. How's it doing?
Not great, not great. You know, obviously 21 years running up and down the hardwood didn't help, but I'm still moving enough to where I can play a little tennis, I play some doubles and enjoy. But,
I was going to say, stay away from singles.
Yeah, no, that's too much. I'll play a little doubles and ride a lot of bike, and that's about all of my sports that I can do right now.
The big fella has got a bum wing, man. His ankle
that
is...
sucks.
Yeah, and you know what?
Tell me.
I think that all kind of got exacerbated the last year. Like, if he wouldn't have played the last year...
You think?
From what he's kind of intimated, yeah, that ankle just really went sideways in his very last year, which sucks.
Yeah, and he was trying to get it right for his,
like every,
for his dismount, for $30,000, for all those things. He was just trying to get to the finish line, you know?
I know.
That's a bummer.
Right now.
John?
Well, my health is good so far, yeah. So I've...
By the way, the French Open's coming up. Like, in 2 weeks, John will be out in Paris for the French Open, yeah.
So far, yeah. So I can't complain.
Was Madrid the last tournament?
Yeah, Madrid's the last tournament. Felt all right there. And, no, like, I take care of myself. You know, I think when I'm done with tennis, I won't be as crazy about taking care of my body. But as of right now, it's my livelihood, so... Still do a lot of things to keep myself as fit as possible, and luckily still feel pretty good right now.
And you love the red dirt, right? Like, you're excited? You gotta be?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I love it, but I don't mind it. You know, I'd rather play on hard court probably, but I've played some really good matches on clay before. I mean, I think, you know, my serve is my serve. It's going to play well on any surface. I can play on mud and probably hold serve a lot. So sometimes clay can play pretty fast, actually, and it did in Madrid, which I think is why I did pretty well there. And if at the French Open it's hot and sunny, it's actually a good court for me.
And you had Rafa. I had him.
I would say I had him.
She's one of the only people on the planet that took Rafa to 5 sets at the French Open, and he almost beat him. And this was 10 years ago, and Rafa was 25, not 35.
Wow. Yeah.
I was at Haddam. I was leading him, and then he decided to turn the jets on. But that was, that match was like 10 years ago or something when I played him. So that was a pretty cool experience. Almost, I guess, but no cigar.
So what is it, you know, Dirk, you played well into your 30s, and John, here you are well into your 30s. Why is it so different? Because, you know, like when Becker was on top and McEnroe and those guys were on top, they were done at 30. Like, done. It just, they couldn't play anymore. What's the difference?
Well, I think you know a lot more about nutrition now, about taking care of your body, about lifting weights. And
cigarettes.
Yeah, all that. I just think the last 20 years we've learned so much more about the body and how it functions, how you need to be training, resting periods, and all the science behind it. So I think that's the major difference. Even when I started in the late 90s, I mean, guys were eating chicken fingers and burgers in pregame, right in the locker room, right before.
Before the game.
Before the game.
Is that weird?
That's awesome.
Pre-game burgers.
Sounds delightful.
And like the kids' tray of nuggets from Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Like, that's just sitting out there for pregame.
Right.
Just grab a handful and go.
We were actually one of the first teams that had a nutritionist on the staff, and we started learning more and more, and we're like, what? This actually helps? And then, you know, it took a while, and I changed my diet completely when I was about 26, 27. In hindsight, a little too late, but like I said, we just know so much more about all that stuff now, training and science behind it than we did then.
Same way with you?
Yeah, I think same thing. There's science behind it. To me, it actually makes sense. I mean, as you get a little older, you definitely get a lot wiser, and no one knows your body better than yourself. I think that's the case for me. I mean, I have people that work with me to keep me healthy, but ultimately, I know when I need rest. I know when I can push myself on the court or push myself in the gym. I've been doing it for so long. So everything that I think I do, and everything obviously he did towards the end of his career, was to get himself to the optimal peak playing capabilities when he took the court. And I do the same thing when I take the tennis court. I'm probably playing a little less now than I was 10 years ago. But that's because I think I need a little more time to rest, a little more time at home to keep myself balanced.
Did you eat like garbage in college?
Yeah, in college I did. I started taking it seriously. I mean, I didn't eat terribly, but I was committed in college, but I became really committed after college because I didn't want to work a regular job, and you know, I didn't have a contract or anything like that. I had to go out there and earn it. So that's one thing that's unique about tennis. It's tough. There's nothing really guaranteed. So you got to go out there and earn it and play against people all over the world that are just as hungry as you are, if not more. So it's tough, and it keeps you motivated, because if you know if you slack off a little bit, you're going to fall behind. Simple as that.
Could you have played, like, let's say that you kept the tennis thing up and you wouldn't have played basketball, could you have reached that level? Could you played in college maybe and come over and play somewhere?
Yeah, I don't think I could have made it professionally, but maybe in college, I don't know. I mean, I quit when I was about 13, 14, I guess, and I was decent, but no, this is a whole different level, you know, so I have no idea what really could have happened, but I'm glad I was tall and basketball came easy to me and it was fun, so I kind of stuck with that.
I mean, with you, too, it's just the opposite. I'm sure basketball coaches were like, dude, come on, you're 6'10", so what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm 6'11", and, you know, he said...
By the way, how quickly is that, like, you're 6'10", come on, hey, I'm 6'11". Like, dude, I mean, like...
I respect that.
No, bro, I'm
6'3 and a half.
Right.
I have no idea what really could have happened, but I'm glad I was tall, and basketball came easy to me, and it was fun, so I kind of stuck with that.
I mean, with you, too, it's just the opposite. I'm sure basketball coaches were like, dude... Yeah. Come on, you're 6'10". So what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm 6'11". And, you know, he said he stopped hoop. Oh, sorry, excuse me, stopped tennis around 13, 14. That's when I stopped hoops. Yeah, I know.
Did your high school coach hate you?
Yeah, they did. I didn't. I had two older brothers that they're kind of normal tall, not like Dirk and I, you know. And then I didn't know I was going to be this tall. So I think if someone would have told me at 13 I was going to be almost 7 feet tall, I probably would have stuck with hoops for sure. But I was never told that, and I stuck with tennis. But I think
you were not that tall at 13.
I grew when I was 18.
Really?
18?
Yeah, I grew in college. I even grew a little bit after college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but you know, I should have seen it coming when I was 16, and I didn't have a single hair on my face, and I was tall and goofy and skinny, and I had a lot of growing into my body to do once I started growing up. So, yeah.
When did you peak?
Yeah, when I was like 16, I was already crossing through 2 meters, which is, I guess, 6'8", 6'9", so I was always huge. I mean, in fourth grade, I was taller than the teachers. It was not good. I was always the tallest kid.
Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Fourth grade.
That's fascinating.
Like, you guys were probably really tall as kids, but imagine that as a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Being taller than your teacher, and how awkward that would be, and how that would scar you, man. That would really be weird.
How about him claiming he shot past 2 meters? That's a extremely European thing to say.
I know.
8'6", 9", so I was always huge. I mean, in fourth grade, I was taller than the teachers. it was not good. I was always the tallest kid.
Was that tough with the girls trying to date?
I was. Let's just say I wasn't comfortable in my body for a long time. You know.
Absolutely.
I didn't have clothes that fit. You know, I'm from a smaller town in Würzburg. I didn't have jeans. Not my shoe size. I'm wearing one pair of jeans for the whole school year. Kids are obviously making fun of me. So it took me a while. I was a very shy kid, and I wasn't comfortable with my body for sure.
Both you guys, in the NBA it's different, but in tennis, you're smack dab in the middle. Your whole career has been in the middle of the three greatest players that the sport's ever seen. Is that like, will you take that as a badge of honor, or is that, would you wish you played in a different era where they weren't winning everything?
No, actually, I think it's like a badge of honor, because you know at every big event, if you don't have to go through all three of them, you got to go through at least two of them. And it makes it tough, it makes it challenging. Every blue moon, one of them would maybe lose before the round of 16, and your draw might open up a little bit. Like, holy shit.
Yep. Did I get it? Okay, yeah.
He's now just coming back, but I think he knows what he's doing. He took a couple years off. Took like 6-9 months off a couple years ago.
Talking about Roger.
And then won the Australian Open right away. So
yeah.
I think he knows what he's doing. Obviously trying to peak for Wimbledon. Look, tennis is going to be, as these guys start to get older and maybe their careers start to wind down, it's going to be a very kind of sad but also an unbelievable unique spot for the sport to see these guys play their final tournaments. It's amazing. In my opinion, they're three greatest players of all time literally playing in the same era. They're both fighting for the most grand slams. They're all playing against each other. It's pretty cool.
It's like your rookie year,
you come into the league with LeBron, Wilt, and Michael Jordan, right? Like, those are your guys that you just kind of grow up with. It would have sucked. Like, it would have been really hard.
That's insane. Yeah, it's what a great generation of tennis, and I had so much fun watching. Yeah, it's been an amazing ride for these guys.
You're playing. You're going to play in this next year. You're pot committed.
Yes.
How difficult is it to get the other guys that, you know, recruiting-wise, to get them down here?
I'm putting on, I'm definitely going to put on my recruiting hat, but I think this tournament's in a good spot in the schedule for a lot of players. Obviously, it's after Australia, but it's, you know, I think it's got a good spot in the calendar. It's 3 weeks before Indian Wells, which is a big event we have in California mm-hmm. that you've been to before, I think, and so I'm going to try to recruit as best as I can. I know this tournament's going to be unbelievably successful, and I know all the players that will compete in this tournament are going to have a great time. So get them here one time, and we'll keep them coming back.
Cool. All right, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Yep. Good to see you, brother.
You too, man.
Oh, yeah.
I love Dirk so much.
He's a great ambassador, and he's a great ambassador for obviously the Mavericks, and but for this sport as well. It's just random that you got a guy in here that's super Euro and that grew up playing, and is just like, hell yeah, I'll help this out.
He's an ambassador of life.
Yeah, he is.
Right?
He's so Dirk.
He just got back from Big Ben.
Yeah.
What's he doing down there?
Vacation.
He was
took the family down there.
Did he hang out with Cowboy Tom?
He did not. He went on a couple of big rafting trips.
Yeah,
he said,
I saw that
down the Santa Helena Canyon. And he also heard about Luca being on the station yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "So, Luca, that was a wild ride."
Yes, it was.
He's like, "We need to work on that boy." I'm
speaking
like, yeah.
of wild rides, look yeah. what's up next.
Holy Whoa. Cow, Mike Soroy is here, and he is pissed.
Holy sea cow.
Thanks for having me. Let's. Oh, not after.
Yeah,
after
a second. Three minutes. Three minutes.
Right back.
No clicking.